This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
The year's 2024. Lots of things are going normally in the world, but also things are a little bit different than they used to be. That's good. In That's Dublin, right. Ireland, Very three true. Podcast friends start talking to each other. Podcast friends becomes one of the top trending phrases on Twitter.
Podcast friends.
It's a word no one's ever heard before, but now everyone's saying it. Because of these three guys.
Wow.
On today's This American Life, we talk about friendship.
That's very strong.
No, that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah. And you could have finished with, I'm Ira Glass, and you're listening to This American Life.
I'm Ira Glass. You're listening to Young Hot Guys.
Very strong.
Now.
Then, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I don't know, some sort of weird.
Sort of plucky strings.
Yeah.
Theater.
And a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my, is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
Idiots on the moon!
Okay, I did an okay job. I'll get better.
You did do a very good job.
I'd be nervous of doing that on the main, but the bonus, I just feel like I can do that with my friends. I feel supported.
Place.
It's
yeah.
a safe place. Mm. So thank
with
you, guys.
Three podcast friends. Was the highlight for me. I quite enjoyed that.
I was doing very well until I hit that speed bump of saying the word podcast
three
friends.
Three podcast friends. I like when he does those intros and he's always like, seems pretty normal, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Three friends making a podcast.
It's normal, right?
Nothing wrong with that, right?
Yeah. What if one of them was a bird? They're not.
But what if they were?
What if they were? Here's our correspondent thing. Yeah. So,
our correspondent on Chicago. He's going to tell us a little bit more about that after the break. Lager beers are some great lager beers. They're also
yeah. Squarespace.
Squarespace is
an awesome way to make a website.
Where dreams come reality.
Artists and creative. Nippy Nap, the backpack for freelancers.
Is that a thing? I want that now. I don't know what that is.
No, but I used to get plagued by ads for backpacks for freelancers.
Happy Sack. It's back, and it's a lot of fun for your core.
How do you feel being freelance now?
I feel I do need a bit more. Do you know what's really annoying? I was saying this to you in the car the other day. It's really annoying being a comedian because you have to have your own.
Everyone loves us.
You know, you're obviously incredibly famous. You get free dinners all the time.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
People are like sucking me off. All this kind of stuff. That stuff's all fine.
Yeah.
But it's pretty normal, right?
And sucked up by a stranger.
Sucked up by a stranger in a park.
For Eddie Rockets.
Sure, in a park.
For a free Eddie Rockets.
Seems pretty normal, right?
You're normal, right?
You go to see Sister Act the Musical. Pretty normal. You get sucked off. Right?
Yeah.
That's normal.
It's not very good, right?
Podcast fans. Blowjob fans. But I do...
What's the difference?
I need a regularity. I need like... It's very hard. It's not that you're working nights. So you're often gigs are in Dublin. And you can be home by like midnight or 11:30 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I would like... You can't go to bed at the same time every day, so I don't know how to structure, I don't know how to balance that out. I need to make some kind of, this morning I had to leave the house at like 8, but sometimes I don't have to leave the house till like 8 p.m. I don't know how
to. Just get up at the same time every day and go to bed as close
but
as possible.
Sometimes you're going to be so much sleepy. What if I'm sleepy during the day?
Well, unfortunately, if you're sleepy, you got to go back to bed.
Yeah,
I need something like somebody's home kind of sleepy right now.
Sometimes you gotta have those little snaps during the day, and that's part of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of, I'm just up because, you know, like my routine is not my own anymore.
Yeah, but you're at the mercy of that. See, I don't have
I'm
children.
At the mercy of that, so, and yeah, I don't know.
What do you miss the most then? What's the thing we should be doing?
Oh, like just in general, like with since having
you know,
kids?
With sleep routine mainly, but
oh
yeah.
my God, if I could wake up on my own, by my own eyes, just
whenever
with, this, just
you wake
with
up.
The sun coming in the window. It's like I fall asleep in a prison cell and I'm just like on edge in case I hear a noise, in case I hear screaming up the hall by someone getting shanked in their fucking room. And I fall asleep fucking not even in my own bed, in my son's bed, because my daughter's in the bed of my wife, right? Mm. A living cock block of a child, right? And then I fall asleep and then I wake up to the sound of screaming like someone's just splashed the fucking slop bucket in my face. And then I'm up and I'm on the fucking back foot immediately. Like I wake up and I fall asleep to the sounds of kids. So I would just probably just allow yourself to wake up naturally whenever you want. Get rid of the alarm. You know, allow yourself whatever. You have to be up by 10. Whatever. You'll probably wake up.
I have trouble sleeping. I kind of admitted it to myself recently. I was like, listen, this is like an issue. Like, I just don't, I can't, like, I can't sleep. I just can't. Just go. So I've started taking melatonin in the evening. And I swear to God, in Germany.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
oh.
I have sachets of it. I got it in
sachet
Germany.
Sachet away.
Yeah. To sleep. The Sandman sachets me away to sleep.
You sprinkle it in your eyes?
Yes, I sprinkle it in my eyes.
Yeah.
For being a good little boy.
Eyes are watering as I try to sleep.
Is it any good or is it? It
puts me right to sleep. It could be placebo because I'm only taking 1 milligram, which is very little. But it really does. And super I cute. Swear to God, the first time I slept like a full night in like a month, I usually wake up in the middle of the night and then I kind of either have to read or listen to an audiobook or something until I get back to sleep. Mm. I woke up and I looked at the alarm clock and it was 7:30 in the morning. I almost started crying. I was like, I managed to fucking do it. I slept through a whole night.
Oh my God.
Like waking Anna up. She's like, still asleep. Like, Anna, wake up.
We did it, baby.
I did it. But yeah, it's hard. I find sleeping hard. So this kind of like, you know, this idea of like, you know, childless life being just just sleeping. Mm. No, there's all the anxieties of childless
sleeping?
Life.
BetterHelp can find a therapist for you. Let me tell you what, I don't trust BetterHelp.
Yeah.
I tried one and I had one kind of date with a therapist and I was in a kind of mood where I'm like, I need a therapist. So I'm like, all right.
Girl.
I'm going to...
Get me a therapist. I'm literally going to fucking flip out.
I fucking blew the head off her with the shite I was talking. Mm. And then I was so embarrassed and never wanted to see her again. It was like, do you ever have that like a deep meaningful conversation when you're 17 at a house party with someone?
Yeah. And like, you're like, I'm too vulnerable.
I'm too vulnerable now. This person should be my best friend who I didn't really know, but that I spilled everything on. Yeah. But now you just remind me of my own weird fucking shit that I have going on.
Reminds me of that sketch we did where we did Get Up to Fuck, the TV show, where the guy comes out and he's the detective. They're trying to find the kid and he's the detective. And you just say, here we have Detective John Sausages. And he goes like, that's not my name.
Yeah.
My name's like Barry. And you go, oh God, that's really embarrassing. Can you leave? I just feel really embarrassed. And like, do that. You do that with your therapist. It's like, I feel really embarrassed. Can you fuck off?
Can you leave?
Yeah. Can you leave? Like, I could do this. You should leave.
And they were like, yeah, do you want to schedule another meeting? And I'm like, no.
I think your first issue with approach to therapy was calling it a date with a therapist.
That might be it.
You might not want to.
She didn't put out. She, not that she needed to, but she was very expensive.
I don't trust anyone who's a therapist. It's like advertising too much on social media. I think you can advertise on social media if you're a therapist, like as in, here's my approach to therapy. Just like text. Mm. There's a therapist I keep getting ads for and like, he's like working out and all. I'm like, what?
What is that the guy who's all like, you need to be sitting down. You need to be getting up. Get your bros together. Get me making fucking money.
I don't have
pray
that guy.
Pray to Jesus.
I don't have that guy.
No?
Oh, he's good.
I don't think he's a therapist.
Stand strong. Be a man.
Stand strong. Be a man.
We got some wonderful correspondences.
Oh, we did. Yeah.
Are they any good?
Some nice ones, yeah. Well, I got to say, the quality of correspondences since the Bertie Ahern one have just like, people want to outdo each other and I love to see it.
Yeah.
Dear Sirs, and Tony. It doesn't say that.
Would you stop
it doesn't say that.
Sir.
I'm just messing with you. This is from a man called Owen Sullivan. I'm writing to you in relation to your previous convictions, skeletons in the closets, and accusations.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a film called The Star Chamber from 1983 starring Michael Douglas. Have either of you guys seen that film?
No, I did see the clip though that he's referring to.
Okay.
He provided a clip.
Michael
Douglas. Mikey D.
Plays an idealist judge who is repulsed by criminals abusing the loopholes in the judicial system and walking free. So much so that he considers alternative ways to bring the criminals to justice.
Mm-hmm.
In a scene, the judges are considering their verdict on a criminal. Please see video attached. They throw a picture on the desk of a criminal before they cast their votes. It is a very brooding mugshot, but it's quite obviously Mr. Killian Sunderman back during his life of crime. I hope this resolves any uncertainty about Mr. Sunderman's checkered past. Hopefully, Justice Douglas will visit him one evening.
I did see the video. It does look a bit like you.
Does it look like me?
A little bit.
Okay, now here we have...
I wouldn't watch the whole thing. It really only happens in halfway through.
Where is it?
Yeah, should we put it on our Instagram when this goes out?
This is it, right?
Yeah, it's too long.
Is it him?
This email has a serious kind of watch to the end vibes.
Is that it?
Yeah, I think it might even be before then. I think it's like maybe the first thing that happens. He puts down the photo.
So fuck this?
No, not fuck this.
Oh. Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's meant to look like me.
It's kind of like you.
It kind of like you.
I'm look, holding up to the camera.
They cannot.
There's a lot of juice involved in the squeeze.
There's a lot of juice.
Sorry,
involved
there's a lot
in
of squeeze involved in this juice.
I don't. I'm going to say, Owen, I don't think that looks like me. I don't think that looks like me. I think you can go fuck yourself saying something like that.
Well, he is obviously talking about your criminal past. You know, but I think that's what.
Killian, I have something
here. Oh, okay. So speaking
this
of...
This hasn't been seen. So Sean Cotter.
Oh, yeah?
He reached out to Young Hawkeyes and he sent a video. So I can only play it once. So
it's one of those one play Instagram videos.
Okay, so...
Make sure the volume is up and make sure...
I turn the volume all the way up. So let's see what Sean Cotter has to say.
Yeah, what do you got to say?
Oh. He said, is this literally a young, hot TC cunt lurking in IADT hallways? And
is that
he
me?
Sent a picture of Tony Cantwell at his graduation.
Now, what you can't see, I was recently shaved there. I normally had a little bit of a beard. It might have been around that time that I burnt the kind of, what's this called, the feltrum of your nose? You know this a little bit?
Underneath, yeah.
Yeah, I burnt that by popping in too many poppers.
Did you go to the parties? Because we were in, you went in 2006 around that time?
I did. Yeah.
So did you go to like the Halloween ball and all that stuff?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Wait, 2006? You guys were at a party together in 2006, right?
Yeah, it was great.
It was kind of a legendary party. Like they were at this party. Bob Hope was there too. Eddie Murphy. It was kind of like...
I don't know if you've ever seen Project X, but it was not far off.
Well, what? So Terry was at the party too?
Weirdly, I think she actually might have been at the party. Coincidentally enough, she went to NCAD, but there was a lot of overlap.
So this
was
the ball was a mix of NCAD and IADT. So maybe
it's weird that you would say that because I wouldn't have never told you that.
Yeah.
No. Shane met Terry at a party. I remember hearing that before.
Yeah.
He met Terry at a party and then also met you at a party?
No, I
met probably
Tony.
Would have, yeah. Did you go to that party that was everything was covered in tinfoil?
No.
Okay.
I've seen if there's any more messages. There isn't any messages in the Instagram.
Sorry.
There are another emails.
This is it. Hey, hello to Killzo, Big Tony, and SD. Sincerest congratulations from Barcelona. Barcelona for the sterling and continued success of Young Hot Guys. As an Irish man working abroad, it brings warmth to my soul. A warmth not even comparable to the Spanish sun.
Wow.
That is good. That's
the international reach. I love that it's in other countries. Yeah. I got messages from Texas the other day.
Oh my goodness.
From Paris.
Oh,
from Barcelona.
Down,
Paris,
down,
Texas.
Down.
This is just like the sleaze is now international, the sleaze music. Well, living abroad from Ireland for nearly 3 years, my relationship and opinion of our country changes much like her weather. Her.
Well, Erin, of course.
Erin, the woman. Kathleen.
Kathleen.
I go from bitterness to Shane was about to go on like sort of a small speech about the personification of Ireland into Kathleen Ní Houlihan, which is a Yeats play.
Yeatsian play,
based on Maud Gonne, and there's a lot of different things going on there. But then he just went,
thank you.
It's like not bothered. Anyway, Ireland is a woman. Not what are the countries that are men? Germany.
Germany's man, yeah.
Vaterland. Yeah, we say it's one of the few ones.
Vaterland.
Vaterland. Yeah, I always found it weird.
Maybe Augustus Gloop. You could call him. That's his country.
Okay. It's a father. Germany is a man. It's a man. Living abroad in Ireland for nearly 3 years.
Killian's taken so long to read it. Do you never see when people read these on things? You skim them. You're supposed to skim them. See if you can. You're supposed to live edit it as you go.
I go from bitterness to longing quite often thinking about Ireland. That's the context.
Okay, yes.
But always I'm happy with the decision I made to start a life with my girlfriend here. Ireland is not a super attractive place for young hot guys and gals to live in at the moment. Killian can testify, I'm sure. Oh, a little bit of shade. Oh, that's because my life is shit. Sorry.
Yes.
I thought that was because I was young and hot.
No, it's because you're, well, not anymore. Your life's not dog shit anymore.
It's not so dog shit anymore. You all have had a taste of living abroad, but have ultimately returned home. Was there ever a thought of staying away? No doubt your careers give you all an excellent reason to live in Ireland, but even now, have you small thoughts of eloping? Would love to hear your feelings about this. And if you ever want to organize gigs in Barcelona, many Irish expats here will have their dreams come true. Congratulations again. P.S. Congratulations, Killian, on finishing your book, a monumental achievement that will be yours forever. Best wishes, Cam.
Well,
Cameron, there are English language gigs, comedy gigs in Barcelona, so just Google that.
Kyla Klauber?
I did not live abroad, so your information is incorrect, Cameron, and I'm ashamed.
Didn't you go? No. Didn't you go to like Birmingham that one time? Or
I've been to other places, but I did not live anywhere else.
No, and I see with all my friends, we all had fucking great lives in London, you know? Careers going well and freedom and, you know, seeing whatever gig you wanted and going to the pub, and it was like a fucking summer camp for the 10 years, you know, I was there. And then it's just like, ah, oh, fucking parents. I kind of want to see them a bit now. I hate them.
Yeah.
I hate them for it.
Yeah.
All my, like, you know, my friend, I was laughing, my friend Claire, you know, she's now like living not very far from where she grew up. And like, she's lived in Japan. She's lived in, you know, in London. She's had long stints in LA and New York, and she's still only now back in fucking Griffith Avenue, you know? And I was just like, how has this happened?
Griffith Avenue in town?
Clonbrassil
Street?
No.
Oh.
Dublin 9. But okay. I'm just like, how has this happened? And the only answer is just parents, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or family. Bullshit. I mean, the word family. That's, I'd be the same. I guess I had to leave America because of visa stuff. I don't want to get, what is it, Tony?
Vis-a-vis.
I don't want to get into that legal mumbo jumbo or whatever. But
legal mumbo jumbo.
Legal mumbo jumbo. But I had to leave the country and fast.
Wow.
I had a day left. As I said before on the podcast, there was one day left on my visa and then I had to go. I couldn't get back. I mean, you can't really get back in. But I mean, my whole life was there. I had a community. You just got to walk away from it. I would say I'll move again in my life. Mm. I'd say so. I have too many friends in different countries.
How are you going to do the record the podcast?
I'll fucking figure it out.
He'll give us like one day.
What,
notice.
Is this a lifetime thing? We agreed to do this thing
he'll
randomly
text
one there's Tuesday
no, this,
and now
this isn't a series.
This is for life.
Ongoing.
We'll
there's
be like,
no
well, we walk in Thursday and he'll be like, I don't know, I'm actually moving away forever. Like, but like, I could go, I'll bring my bag. Maybe we could do like 9.
This is like, you know, in Goodwill Hunting, where it's like, every day I fucking dream I show up and you're not there.
Yeah, yeah.
Every day I dream that I'm gonna do
the best
podcast.
Part of my day is I'm walking up and I pray you're not there.
Going up to the studio, Hillary's sitting there, and I just pray to God, Killian, you're not sitting in that seat. And I'm like, he did it. He finally did it.
Son of a bitch stole my line. That's what I'll say at the end. No, it's great. I do think that if you are genuinely looking for any kind of like success in like the arts or whatever, you probably should move. And Shane, I do think I've said this before. I think you should move. I don't think you will, but I think you should move
to London.
Yeah,
yeah. Sorry. Look, I'm going to have to spend more time in London, but I really am putting on the long finger because you do have to go over in London. And in London, see, I was thinking about the amount of gigs you can get in London compared to here. There's so many more gigs that happen, even if they're not great. You know, a great night or a great club or a great gig. You can practice your stuff a million times and the same people will not have seen it twice.
You'll gig every single day and you won't get an overlapping audience.
Yeah, no overlap. Whereas, you know, here you go around the same people and you feel embarrassed you're doing the same material, but you have to do them.
Mm.
You have to do that a lot of times to make the jokes better. There's always more jokes in the jokes.
Yeah, there's always more jokes in the jokes.
Can I also say a big thank you to the Young Hot Guys fandom? The peep peep Young Hot Peeps.
The peep peep peeps?
Yeah, they sold out. We did a little...
Oh my God, we did
a little show in Workman's to kind of test out some new material, as you do. Sold out in like 15 minutes.
Insane.
And I didn't even get to share it. I was doing other I was like, I'll do that now in a few minutes. I was like, I'll get to that now. And then I didn't even bother. And then I felt weird because I didn't even share the Young Hot Guys reel that week. And then I was like, but I can't really share it because it's kind of advertising our night. And, you know, this is what it's like. It's so tough for us in our industry. So tough.
No, but thank you very much.
We'll do more of these new material
nights. We'll stick on more.
The new material night is going to be us building material to do more material for a bigger, better, amazing show for you guys.
What character is this deep gray?
Yeah,
who is this
just
fucking
me
guy?
Hiding a burp. Hiding a burp. I'm hiding a burp.
So thank you very much
for that.
That
was lovely. That was a lovely little thing because you kind of send this thing off into the ether. You don't really know how many people are listening. People come up to you and say hi or whatever. But like that's bang, 15 minutes. That's the fastest I've ever seen anything sell out. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Tony sells out pretty quick.
Nah.
Well, I've sold out a number of dates also.
You have?
Yeah, but he sells out like lightning, doesn't he?
Sometimes. Come on, let's be approachable again and down to earth people.
Sorry, down to earth. That's not us. That's literally like Hat in Hands going, thank you. Thank you. Hat in Hands, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
What you've done for me and my family.
Yeah.
My family.
But yeah, so that's good. I have no new material for that.
Well,
new
you better
material,
figure out 20
I have
fucking
nothing.
Minutes. You better figure out 20 fucking minutes.
Do you know what? 20 minutes is a really long time.
It's a long time.
I'll be doing a few old classics, so I don't care.
15, 20. Yeah. You know?
I'm going to write and I'm going to listen to a lot of the stuff I have. I'm going to follow my dad around for a week just writing down funny things
what
he
else
says.
Is he going to say next?
I've been thinking a lot, Killian, about the time when you came in here and you were like, I've just realized comedy is telling jokes.
Yes.
Because I was really thinking about that. Like, it's every, because what I used to do is I would try and write, and like, I remember Kevin McGarren said this, I figured it out. What was like, when do you write? And he's like, kind of on the way to the gig. Like, I'll talk, if it's a long drive, or I'll sketch a few things out, or a few words, and maybe take some funny things, thoughts, and just try and figure them out, or work them out on stage, or whatever, you know? And then I was like, oh, I couldn't do that. And I, you know, but I then found myself kind of doing that a little bit and then them not being particularly good.
Yeah.
But now I've kind of been writing things.
Write a few jokes.
But what's the important thing I found is just writing it and then rewriting it to find jokes in it. Like, and like I was always making the mistake of writing it and being like, oh, well, I'll just say it and I'll put inflections on what I think are the funny bits. And then I'm like, but there's no fucking jokes there.
That's it. Yeah. I think with
and it's not a fault of the audience not to laugh because you haven't said the joke. There's no joke.
Yeah. You know? I think that I when I'm trying something new or the having a joke, there's that new Jesus-y kind of thing that I'm doing that I kind of say every time. It's not so, it's like, I don't know what new is, but there's one joke in it now that's like the biggest laugh. And I only wrote that like 2 weeks ago.
Happen,
and it's
yeah.
the biggest laugh, the one about Jesus on the cross.
Mm.
The one.
Yeah, that I know that what you mean, but then they're going out of fashion as well. Mm-hmm. As time goes on, if you have a joke that's kind of old, people will laugh in a different part of that joke now, that story. It's very, I find it fascinating.
It's fucking unquenchable.
Is it because of me? Like, it's because I, things that used to be a big punchline, I now have to add in extra things to them to make them zing. But I'm like, is that because I'm bored of it? I don't know. I also get very self-conscious about talking about this because I do sometimes feel like this isn't for us to talk to the audience and the listeners about.
I think this is
I don't
more,
know,
I think
I
would rather, we talk about this than talk about things like, you know, influencer things or like industry things or whatever, things that are like, you know what I mean? Like us getting freebies and stuff like that. I think I would much rather talk about things that we do as artists rather than like, because sometimes we talk about things and they're interesting and we can relate to it, the three of us, if we get sent like a free thing. Mm. And I find that sometimes can be unrelated.
I have just started writing like stand up again because I was writing the book. And it's so weird. Something that's really weird is going from writing in one medium, which is long form.
To be read
novelty,
by someone else's
right?
eyes.
Yeah. Mm. And then going to writing like what is going to be a joke. Because with stand up, sometimes if you write it out too phonetically, the idea or whatever, when you go on stage, you get married to this way that you've written it down, almost like scripture.
Mm.
And then you kind of have to leave it loose as an idea so that you can flesh it out or whatever.
Mm.
Whereas I'm finding now, like writing, I'm just like sitting down writing long, kind of the whole thing. And then it becomes this kind of script and I don't know what to do with it.
If you can if you can look at it and think, right, oh, well, I found if I'm looking at this, I'm like, oh, if this could be a tweet, like if there's extra color on this that isn't as funny as either the top bit or the bit that's coming, then I'll cut it.
Yeah.
But there is also, there's some bits that you'd kind of need to have a carry and you need to have it not laugh. But I'm looking at a lot of stuff now thinking if this could be a tweet. The only reason I haven't cut this down is because I need time. So if that's the only reason for keeping it in, then I have to cut it. You know what I mean? So if this is a 5 minute bit that could be literally a 1 minute bit, you're kind of better off with being a 1 minute bit.
This is making me so nervous now.
See, I prefer, I like this. And
no,
I think
no, I don't mean, I'm not about the people listening to this. I feel, I'm just thinking because we're talking so in depth about jokes and structures and all. I'm thinking about, tomorrow I'm recording this, tomorrow is Vicar Street. I'm like, oh my God. So I actually feel really nervous for it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's
you know what I have a fear of? You know what I have a fear of? I've done the show many times, about 40 times or something or more.
Mm.
And but I still have a fear. My fear is like, you have the fear of like, you'll fuck up the show or fuck up your jokes or whatever, or people just won't enjoy it. And then I have this other fear that's like, what if it doesn't feel like what you dreamt of or something? What if it's a damp squib? What if it's a anticlimax?
The performance won't be.
But what if I feel it?
You might, but you just have to like know that you're lying to yourself. Like
yeah.
you, the thing is, it is so exciting and you'll have such a good time after that, but you'll be disappointed that it's over. And when you're hanging out, I've already said this to you, when you're in the green room with everyone,
yeah.
you're probably, that's very exciting and you're around, but that also probably won't live up to the expectation.
Oh, yeah, 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 of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, the kind of being around everyone, the kudos, you'd probably be like, I actually haven't even got to the bar yet.
I think I've gigged enough that I'm kind of like, I know what it's like. I know there'll be like about less than 2 minutes of I've come off stage and I'll be on your own, and then bang, everyone will be in that green room and you might actually be there, whatever it is.
You know who's going to have the best night? It'll be me, probably.
Probably.
I'm probably going to have the best night out of anyone because I'm going to do my 20 minutes or whatever, then I'm going to get off, and then I'm going to get drunk in the green room by myself, might like take videos of Shane from the side, then everyone's going to come in, and all I'm going to be imagining is like, I might do this one day. So I have the anticipation of maybe it being something that I might do. So I'm going to have the best night ever tomorrow.
When you're the support and a big gig like that and people are coming into a green room, that kind of gig, you're also, part of your job is also get that moving, get that going.
Get that going.
You go, yeah, have a drink, open that.
Yeah, let's go on.
The touch of that is your job as well. Yeah, you're kind of a host.
I'll do some coke, yes. I can find some coke. Poppers.
There will not be cocaine at it. You know, it will be there. Oh, no, actually, I don't want to say that. I can say it now. My mom and dad are coming. That's what it is. Yeah, they've never come down before, so I wonder how that's going to go.
Do you know what's weird? Will you notice at Vicar Street, like, it is such a buzz, like, it's such a good,
it is magic in
it there. Is magic, and like, it is, even though you should literally be going out there showcasing your best material, there it is the best place to try weird silly stuff. It is so, it's just so weird. It shouldn't be. It should be the place where you have everything locked down and it's pitch perfect, but it is such a fun time to actually
The first time I saw you do stand up was Vicar Street, and I think maybe it was your first, like, so I don't know when that was, but Shane was
first
supporting you.
Yeah.
And you were doing four nights in a row or something.
Yeah.
And you came out and it was the big, it was this big kind of like, maybe it was a Friday night, I can't remember. Maybe it was your second night doing it. But like some lad just kept shouting, pedo.
That was fun.
And it was like, you just kept doing this bit where you were like, oh Jesus Christ, like this has like been a dream for so long. This can't be how this goes.
Yeah.
It's like you're doing a bit where you're like, you're coming over to your wife. She's like, how was the big night? And you're like, oh my God. And the whole crowd at one point was chanting, pedo, pedo. And you're like, the culmination of all my dreams. Just a thousand people chanting pedo. What do I do? But that was very funny, and you didn't plan that. So.
No, didn't plan that, yeah.
Is that when I fell?
Yes, you fell, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I have video footage of Shane falling.
Oh.
Yeah. But you were very good, too. You were both great.
Pretty badass about it.
It's pretty badass. You're going to fucking kill it, and I hope I can make it.
You are. You're going to kick ass. I can't wait to see you just tear that fucking stage up. And
Jesus
the stage.
Christ.
Yeah. Well, I'm already in my job as the fucking hype man.
Great.
You know, I'm a support.
Killian insisted on driving the other day to Belfast, not because I crashed the car the previous time, which I did have a small accident, but Killian was real nice. And then he was like, I'll drive. And then he's like, you need to be like rested. Yeah. And I do an impression of you. I'm sorry. Don't mean no offense. And then he was like, at the end, he's like, no, do you feel like that you got, I'm the support act, but I support. And I did feel like, I feel like, oh, he got it over the line. I did feel looked after by you. And I was, which is
great.
Not good.
Well, he insists on driving, but I'm like, it's a 2 hour trip and I'll go up and back. And then you can sit there and just figure it out.
It was good. We talked about some morose, horrible things on the way home.
We did, God, straight after
like,
the gig.
At one point, Killian said, right, but is there anything else we could talk about? Oh, God, we're talking about really horrible stories.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my, is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
Idiots on the ball!
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.